I feel a peace is always my Savior stands with me. He stands to shield me from danger when earthly friends are gone. He promised never to leave me alone. No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to
kids come in, it's like flowers blooming. They just start popping up everywhere. A lot of joy, a lot of happiness. They sure do a lot to my soul. Like we have several visitors here all around us tonight. Thank you if you're visiting with us for the first time. We hope you enjoy yourself tonight. And this is our regular Wednesday night service. We have our Bible club start at 6:30, and normal church starts in here at 7 o'clock with singing and prayer. And we do put emphasis on prayer. But we don't like to escape without having a little bit of the Word of God. We've got to have some Bible to help us tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Because I tell you, we have battles on our hand, on every hand. Battles left and right. Spiritual battles I'm talking about. Now, if you've been fighting with your loved one, you can get that over with. And get right with God and say, Lord, I want to get in a spiritual battle. And I want to be on your side. So we're going to talk about the blood of Jesus tonight. The blood of Jesus. I tell you, what a topic. What a topic. We won't be long. I promise you, I'll give you about six bullet statements. And then two or three verses to back those up. It's always good to have Bible to back up what you're saying. Talk about the blood of Jesus. When you talk about the blood of Christ, first thing we need to understand, the Bible makes it clear that the ground of our acceptance is in and through the blood of Christ. Look with me in Colossians chapter 1. We'll start there tonight. Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter 1. Find Philippians and go on past a little bit. You'll find Colossians. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 20. Colossians 1, verse 20. The blood of Christ is the ground of our acceptance. There was nothing that was going to help us to be accepted by God outside the blood of Christ. So that's what I'm talking about. That's what we're accepted by. It's not by our good works. It's not by our heritage, our nature, our character, our morality. It is, we are accepted by God through the blood of Christ. Nothing else. Colossians 1:20, the Bible says this, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth are things in heaven, nothing else, in earth, nothing in heaven, nothing, but the blood of the cross, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 21. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, which we have preached to every creature, which is made to have under heaven, wherefore I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind the affliction of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Verse 28, the first three words, whom we preached. There's no other way of acceptance. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man come to the Father but by me. And I want to tell you, for one person, I am very thankful for such. I am thankful that it is not in what I can do or what I can bring. To be quite honest with you, I couldn't bring much to the table. When I sit down at the table of God on this conversation of salvation and getting an eternity and home in heaven, I sit there wanting. Anything and everything I could lay before God was not enough. It was as filthy rags. All my righteousness, everything I laid before God. God said, that's good, son, that's good. But still not come to heaven. My son, it would be a shame. Can you imagine when, for a moment, we just went through Easter season? It would be a tragedy, if God would allow his son to die on the cross of Calvary and be mocked and shamed and scourged and treated so cruelly. And then all of a sudden he says, well, if you can sing a high C real good, come on into heaven. What a shame. But it ain't like that. There's nothing you can bring. Because if it was something that could happen before, dear friend, there were some good people in the Old Testament. There were some really good people. I'm thinking about Abraham, friend of God. Wait a minute, preacher. Jesus hadn't yet come and died on the cross. That's right. He was looking forward to the cross. His faith is in what would take place and the blood that would be shed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Like we, our faith, we look back to the finished work. He was looking forward to the coming work that would be completed and be finished by Christ. It'd be a tragedy. I mean, just a tragedy if all of a sudden God says, well, you know, Jesus, I'm sorry you had to go through all that, the shame and the suffering and me turning my back on you and, you know, them judging you and spitting upon you. You know, let's do it this way. Let's see if they just come to church about half their life, they'll be okay. It was Christ and Christ alone and the blood of Christ. And we've got to think that we are accepted by that. There's nothing we can do. And so after we're saved and we've accepted the blood of Christ as the atonement for our sin, dear friend, that ought to refresh our souls. I mean, if we think about it, I am amazed at the amount of folks nowadays in this generation which we live in, which is offended by the statement, the blood of Christ saves. I don't know, dear friend, how you can be offended by something that's the only thing that was acceptable to God was the shed blood of Christ. And not only is this the ground of our exception, dear friend, it is the channel of our forgiveness. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. It is the very channel of our forgiveness. And I don't know about you, I stand in need of forgiveness. I saw a quote today that was put out by someone, I forget the name of the person that said it, but it was like this. For someone who stands in need of forgiveness on a continual basis day by day, how can you harden your heart and not offer forgiveness to somebody that may offend you once every 6 months? You know what Jesus said? Somebody asked him, how often should you forgive? He gave a lot of times. What is it, 7 times 7? 70. In one day? In the same offense. I've messed up a lot, dear friend. I tell you, I have messed. There's been days, Sister Bass, that I'm telling you, from about 7 in the morning to around 11 o'clock, I could have counted about 700 times I messed up. But never the same thing over and over and over again. And Jesus said, forgive them for that offense that many times. Dear friend, it's not good to hold back forgiveness to no one. To no one. Look at Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Look, the Bible says there in Ephesians 1, 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood. We just talked about the ground of reception, of acceptance. The ground of acceptance, the blood. In whom we have redemption through his blood. Listen to it. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. That blood wasn't shed, dear friend, we would not have opportunity for forgiveness. It's God saying, it's enough. It's paid. What sins? You've asked me to forgive you. I'm just and faithful to forgive you. I put them far as the east is from the west. And that's exactly how we're to act. Look at Ephesians 4 and verse number 32. Ephesians 4, 32. This is exactly the way we are to act. And be kind one to another. That's to each of us. Tender-hearted. Boy, we got to work on that one, don't we? Because this time we are just hard-hearted. What does it say? Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. That's exactly how we're to act. Exactly how we're to act. Flip over to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. It's amazing the things you can dig out of the Word of God if you just spend a little bit of time in there. Shoveling this around, shoving that, or move this aside, move that aside, get priorities right, spend a little time in the Word of God. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13. This is what it says. And you, being dead in your sins, that's me and you, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, have he quickened together with you, listen what it says, having forgiven you of about a half pint of your trespass. About 60 days of your trespass. All trespasses. That's the channel of our forgiveness, is through the blood of Christ. And it's every bit of sin. The sins I did when I was growing up before I got saved. The sins the day I got saved and I had anger or I had jealousy or I had an evil eye towards somebody. And the days after that, all those are under the blood. And all I got to do is, Lord, I'm sorry. I sinned against you. I broke your heart. I sinned and I transgressed your law, your word. Lord, please forgive me. Go through that channel. You know what he's up? It's under the blood. It's the grounds of our acceptance. It's the channel of our forgiveness. And not only that, it is the very means of our cleansing. And I tell you, we need cleansing daily. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter number 1. Talking about the blood of Christ. 1 John chapter 1. And it is amazing how the Spirit of God has got these kids listening. I guarantee there's some school teachers that, man, how do I get all them kids to sit quiet and pay attention? Listen to that. That's the Spirit of God working in their heart. They must learn to behave in the house of God. All these people thinking they got to hide kids off somewhere in a corner. No, they are part of the church of today. Jesus said himself, suffer little children, come unto me. His disciples got upset, tried to run them off. Shoo, 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 shoo. Man, I am glad. Listen to this. Silence. Man, lie. God is good. And that makes you want to shout. All right, 1 John 1:7. Sorry about that little sidetrack there. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. I'm telling you, it's good to have fellowship, isn't it? Well, I enjoyed the other day, Easter Sunday. We had good fellowship here for breakfast that morning after the early sunrise service. But it's not only about the fellowship. This is what it says. We have fellowship one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Amen. It's a cleansing agent, the blood of Christ. Well, wait a minute, Pastor. I thought the blood was just, accepted. It is. But as you think about it, you study through the scriptures, and you remember the price that was paid and the blood that was shed, when you go to step off into that sin, it should bring thought to your mind. God himself paid an awful price to redeem me unto himself. Why should I get involved in this? It should stop you. It's like a... Be careful here. I hope none of y'all... electric fences. You put your border up around your yard. Maybe you got some cows and you want to keep them in this particular area. That their electric fence is just a fence. That's all it is. Just a fence. Till they touch it. Then it bites. The next time they see it, they know not to get near it. We accept the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend. It ought to be, the Holy Ghost of God ought to shock inside of us. Hey, there was a price paid for you. You're not your own. Don't get involved. That is a transgression of God's law. Man, I am surprised at the amount of folks that want us to talk about that's my right. Well, not according to Scripture. Preacher, that's my right to do what I want. No, you belong to God if you're saved. Bought with a price, it says. You're not your own. It can't be any plainer. So the blood of Christ, it cleanses you. Let me tell you something. The more you stay away from sin and the less you sin, the more holy you become. You will never become sinless. But it begins to cleanse and wash off and take away things that are not pleasing to God. And listen, it's not all at once. It's a work in progress. But every time you take a step forward and you draw nigher and closer to God, He draws nigh to you, and the glory of God begins to spill off, and the blood of Christ becomes more real, and the pavement becomes more real. It's kind of like, when you first got out of your house or first got a job, you know, mom and dad have been buying everything for you. The next thing you know, you got to pay your own cell phone bill, you got to buy your own shoes. Whereas you was throwing a fit and wanted the first, every generation iPhone out there, Nike or Reebok and Adidas that cost $220 you had to have because mom and dad was paying. All of a sudden, when it come out of your pocket, man, I might just get these on clearance over here. These here are $30 because it has payment that you are responsible. One thing, whenever you realize the payment, and you understand the value of what bought you, the blood of Christ, you step back. Look with me over in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Had to get rid of them bifocals. I was going crazy. I was about dizzy all day long. 10 minutes, okay. Let me rush along. 1 Peter chapter 1. Just so they know when this recording that I am not restricted to 8 o'clock, it's because we have kids that need to get home, get to bed, so they can get up and go to school in the morning. some preacher told me the other day, they don't let you preach past 30 minutes. I preach as long as the Lord lets me, but I have a flock of people. We have to consider all seniors and school age. You know, I have to be responsible. Get, you know, if you quit telling these jokes, you get more Bible in. That's what I should have told you. I get more Bible in 30 minutes than you get an hour. You want to joke around with everybody. What did I told y'all? 1 Peter chapter 1. I tell you, sometimes they just throw a boomerang at you. Like, how in the world do you know I only preach 30 minutes? You know why? He's good, boy. Been listening to that crazy internet stuff. That's why I'm checking me out. That's really. Oh, man. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. This is a good one here. So, the blood of Christ is the ground of our acceptance. It's the channel of our forgiveness. It's the means of our cleansing. And listen here. Verse 17, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17, the Bible says, "And if ye call on the Father who hath, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourning here in fear," verse 18, "for as much as ye know that ye are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from the vain conversation received by the traditions of from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Verse the price that was paid. Think about the very price of the blood of Christ and the value of God Himself sending His Son to die on the cross. How much worth you are to God. Don't let this world, don't let Satan, don't let your sin bind you and bound you in your past, bind you into feeling worthless. That's what the devil wants to do for you. The Bible says in Revelation 12:11 that they were coming in. Matter of fact, go over there, Revelation 12:11. Flip on back over there, Revelation 12:11, last book in the Bible. It's talking about the martyrs of the saints, of the Lord. And listen what it says here in Revelation 12:11. "And they overcame him," who? Go back, it's the devil, the serpent, the old Satan himself. "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they love not their lives unto death." The blood of Christ is the secret to overcoming all this. To realizing that He's greater than He that's in me than He that's in the world. And the reason the Holy Spirit of God is in us is because the blood of Christ was shed for us. If the blood of Christ had not been shed for us and we had not accepted the atonement of God through Jesus Christ and the blood that was shed for us, then the Holy Spirit of God would not live in us. And therefore, we would not be more than overcomers, more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. This is the power. There's power in the blood. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 10. This is what Paul says. "Always bearing about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." Galatians 2:20. "The life I live now in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God." The life right now. Dear friend, because of the blood of Christ, it is our power to overcome difficulty. Don't allow sin to rule and reign in your life. Yield your life to an instrument of righteousness to Christ Jesus and to God for His use and for His perfect will for your life, that you might bring about a good testimony for Christ. You remember Revelation 12:11? They came through because of the blood of Christ and their testimony. Their testimony. They allowed Christ to live in them, the hope of glory. come out and shine through them, and they were able to be overcomers. You can overcome any difficulty in your life because Jesus Christ paid the price, and He wants you to be victorious. He wants you to have a victorious life. He doesn't want you to be in bondage. He set you free. But you got to remember the blood. You got to remember the blood. The reason we have this power to overcome is because the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was shed for us. Luke chapter 22. Luke 22. And verse 20. Luke 22, 20. This is talking about the Lord's Supper, and this is a symbol. This is not literally the blood of Christ. This is the fruit of the vine, but it's a symbol. Look what it says. Likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament, my blood, which is shed for you. That's singular. Now, for Christ died for the whole world, but if you'd have been the only one, He would shed His blood for you. That should do something. That should stir your heart. That should get you motivated to serve God with cleanness and uprightness. You remember over in Colossians, as we read in chapter 1, it says that to present us unblameable. That's how God wants to present. And how is that? Because of the blood of Christ. Look at Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 15. Lord, have mercy. Preacher, we done run all through the New Testament Bible. We'd have been all in there. Yeah. It's good for us. Hallelujah. I got to looking at the blood of Christ, then it just kept going, kept jotting. I actually got to 7 and I scratched it out. I said, man, I keep going. I have 27 here. I can go on and on. I'm just telling you, it's a topic that is needful in this hour. Hebrews 9 and 15. Hebrews 9 and 15, the Bible says, and for this cause, He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by the means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive. Listen to this, because of the blood was shed, because He died for you, because you trusted Him, it says, might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. That's why we believe salvation forever. Once saved, you're always saved. It's a promise of God. The blood of Christ, you're accepted by simply the blood of Christ. Nothing else, so there's nothing else can keep you but the blood of Christ. You are preserved through Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 32, for the last one tonight. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Here we go, Romans 8, 32. It says in Romans chapter 8, verse 32, He that spared not His own Son, this is what God, He didn't spare His Son for our sake. He sent Him to the cross. But delivered Him up for us all, that's all of us, everybody, and all those folks that want to say you've got to be born on this day or that day or another day or be on this side or that side to be saved. No, that ain't what it says. Us all. Whosoever believeth. It ain't about where you were born, how you were born, when you were born, or who you are. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Jesus, the grace of God has appeared to all men. Everybody has the opportunity to get saved. Everybody. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also, listen, freely give us all things. There's a pledge of blessing for accepting the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood that was paid for you. Eternal life. Eternal, that's a pledge. That's a promise of blessing. Here it says there in the verse, freely give us all things. Well, preacher, I've been waiting for that Maserati for a while. I've been praying for a long time. Yeah, you're asking in your own flesh and all mist. You're asking amiss. God is not a God that we can stand up and demand what we desire, but he will give us the pleasures of our heart according to his will. If you had a Maserati tonight, you wouldn't be sitting here in church tonight. And it's not the will of God that you miss church. Oh, preacher, there's no Bible for that. Hebrews. Forsake not the assembly of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Okay, I'll stop. I know that's a meddling now. All right. Father, we love you. We thank you.